Well, let's pray and prepare our heart for God's word this morning. Father, I just thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that you always know exactly what we need. And so I thank you, Lord, that you speak into each heart and life here this morning. I pray, Father, that this seed of the word of God would find good soil in our hearts and bring the fruit, the end results, Lord, that you desire to bring to pass in our life. I humble myself before you, Lord, and I ask for your help, your anointing, Lord, to speak what you'd have me to. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We have been in a series called The Heart. It is based on one of the parables that Jesus told. It's commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. I think it would be more appropriate if we called it the parable of the seed, because it's all about the word of God. Or even better, we call it the parable of the hearts, because it's about the word of God getting into our hearts. Now, this parable is found in three of the Gospels. I want you to know something, that if God tells you something one time, it's important. But if he tells you something three times, you better not miss it. There's a reason that it's repeated for us, because it's so important. Jesus teaching about this parable is one of the primary reasons that I like to pray before we look to God's word and before I share the word. I've not seen anything negative about people who don't do that. And I've heard some preachers say, hey, if you ain't done your praying already, you ain't gonna do no good now. Well, I don't know about that. But I just know that we need to always be careful that our hearts are ready to receive God's word. It makes all the difference, the condition of your heart and whether or not you're receptive to God's word. And besides that, I always need God's help. And one more time, I want to ask him for his help. But I'm just telling you that that's the primary reason, or one of the primary reasons we pray before I preach, is because our hearts need to be ready to receive. It all depends on the condition of our hearts. You know, it's strange how people in our culture today refer to the heart and talk about the heart sometime. You know, when they're doing wrong sometimes, or make a terrible mistake, they'll say things like, well, the Lord knows my heart, like their heart is better than their actions somehow. And sometimes you hear people talk that way about other people, and somebody's doing wrong, and they'll say, oh, but he has a good heart. Well, listen to what Jesus said. In Matthew 15 and 19, Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. He says all this stuff comes out of the heart. Now, good things also come out of the heart. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. But you need to understand that whatever is in our heart is going to come out in our life. Ultimately, the fruit, the outcome of your life is a result of what is in your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You know somebody that's got issues? Let me tell you where issues come from. The heart. All of it. The decisions that we make, the things that we say, the things we do, it all flows out of our heart. In the NIV, it says it this way, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You see, your life is flowing out of your heart. There's certainly things that happen to us in life that are beyond our control. But the outflow, the fruit of our lives, comes from our heart. So we got to get our heart right. We got to keep our heart right. It's our hearts that determine whether or not God has his way in our life, whether or not we do the will of God in our life. It's our hearts that determine whether or not the seed of the word of God will accomplish what he wants it to in our life and bring the blessings that he wants to bring in our life. So we're going to look at the noble and good heart today. And Lord willing, we're going to wrap this series up today. But we're going to go back to Luke chapter 8 one more time, and I'm going to read this parable and Jesus' explanation one more time. And if you've been here all 4 weeks and you've heard it four times, that's okay, because I want you to know it'd do us all good if we get to the place where we really know what this says. Because I'm telling you, it has everything to do with the outcome of your life. So we're going to begin Luke 8, verses 4 through 15. It says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." Now, the last 3 weeks, after we read the parable, we skipped to the explanation. But this morning, I want us to read that, because there's a real key here to having a noble and good heart. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He called out. See, he finishes the parable, and before he even gives the explanation, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him what the parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. The noble and good heart. You know, it's interesting, if you do a word study here in the original text in the Greek, when it says the noble and good heart, both of those words are actually words that mean good, but it's kind of redundant to say the good heart, but in a way that's really what it was saying. But we just need to understand, he's talking about a really good heart, the noble and good heart. That's the heart that hears the word, retains it, and then perseveres until it produces a crop. First, he describes that noble and good heart as the one that hears the word. Well, all of them hear. But remember, Jesus said, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." It's one thing to just hear it with the natural ear. It's another thing for us to really listen to it, to receive it, and get it down inside our hearts. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. See, sometimes we hear the words, but we're not really getting what he's saying. I read about a couple that was on a road trip, an older couple. They were traveling from Memphis to Little Rock, Arkansas, and the wife was hard of hearing. Well, after a while, they got pulled over, and the police officer asked the husband if he knew that he was speeding. And the wife said, "What did he say?" And the husband said, "He wants to know if I knew I was speeding." And then the officer asked the man, he said, "Well, you're not from here, are you?" And his wife said, "What did he say? He wants to know if I'm from here." And then the man told the officer, he says, "No, we're from Memphis." And the officer said, "You know, the meanest woman I ever met was from Memphis." And the wife said, "What did he say?" And he said, "He thinks he knows you." You know, the point is simply this. Sometimes we know something's being said, but we're not really getting it. In fact, it's amazing to me how that I can preach the word, and some people think I said things that I never said. You know, for an ornery kid like me that grew up in a lawyer's home, this modern technology of the day, when they do that, I just want to go, you know, it's all recorded. You want to go listen to it again with me? But sometimes we just don't really hear. We don't really get what God is saying to us. That's why Jesus says it's so important how you hear. You got to have ears to hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Now, you know, sometimes those kinds of things, a quick read, it sounds unfair almost, but I can assure you that God is always fair. He's beyond fair. He is merciful. And any time that we think that something is unfair, I can assure you that we just don't understand yet. But God is always more than fair. Doesn't He want everyone to see, to hear, to understand? He certainly does. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Scripture says. Now, Matthew's gospel records just a little bit more of exactly what Jesus said here. It goes into a little greater detail. In Matthew 13:13-15, it says this, "Though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing but not understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving." Now listen, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." You see, the reason that they don't hear, the reason they don't see, they don't get it, it is because their hearts are calloused. He says, they close their eyes. They're hardly hearing at all. It's because their hearts are calloused. When we receive the truth of the Word of God, we have a heart that's open and receptive to God's Word, I'm telling you, He wants you to see. He wants you to hear. He wants you to understand. But if our hearts are hard and resistant to Him, we won't hear. You got to have ears to hear. Now, it's interesting, if you're reading it in the book of Luke, and Jesus explains the parable to them, and He ends with that statement about the noble and good heart. It hears, it retains, and then it perseveres and produces a crop. And then the very next thing He says in Luke 8:16, He says this, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." Now, I just want to point out to you, this is not the same parable or what Jesus was talking about in Matthew when He talks about believers being a light. No, He's talking about truth here. He says, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." You see, He is saying that spiritual truth, one day, it's all going to be revealed. One day, everybody's going to get it. One day, everybody in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow the knee to Jesus Christ and say with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. One day, everybody's going to get it. But what did He say now? Be careful how you listen. It's so important how you listen, whether or not you're really tuned in, whether or not you really want God to speak to you, whether or not you're willing to hear. Because I got to tell you that when we're just doing what we want to do, sometimes we don't even want to hear. And maybe just in one area of our life, we've decided this is the way it's going to be, and God is speaking to us, but we don't want to hear. And then he makes this statement, another one of those statements that sounds unfair on the face. He says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away. You see, when we accept truth, when God reveals truth to us, if we embrace it, if we receive it, we accept it, He'll give us more. But if we just got a little bit, because we don't really receive, we're not really accepting it, we're not embracing it, then even what we have, we're going to lose. When people are resistant to the Word of God, resistant to God moving and working in their life, even what they have. See, sometimes lukewarm, apathetic Christians have this mentality, well, you know, one of these days I'll get serious about God. One of these days, you know, I might think about really getting close to God and committing my life to the Lord, but it's all good for now. You know what the problem with that is that most of the time their hearts become more and more calloused, and even what they had, they lose. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he has, what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Be careful how you listen. Now, they say that women, as a rule, are better listeners than men. We've all seen the scenario of the husband that's watching the ball game and the wife is trying to talk to him and he's just nodding and saying, every once in a while. And she finally turns off the TV set and says, have you heard a word I said? One guy says to his friend, he says, you know, my wife, she talks to herself all the time. The other guy says, so does mine, but she doesn't realize it. You see, we all know how that is, that you can hear the words but not really be listening. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the Lord, we got to be very careful that we're truly listening to what He's saying to us with our heart, not just the natural ears, but our hearts are open and receptive to what He wants to say to us. I want you to understand that God so often speaks in a still small voice, but can we hear Him amidst all of the noise of our life? Do we seek to hear His voice? Are we really desiring for God to speak to us? I'm telling you, God wants to speak to us. I really believe that God wants to reveal His will to us. I mean, as much as we want to be in the will of God, I'm telling you, God wants us in His will. But do we have ears to hear? Are we really listening? How you listen will determine what you do, whether or not you receive. Some people come to church and hear the word, but the message just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. They couldn't really care less. We got to be careful that we're really listening. What is He saying? I'll just give you one more example. When I was a teenager, when I was 16, I worked at Piggly Wiggly, and there was a young man that worked there who was a minister's son, but he was not a very godly young man. And so I don't know if it was out of boredom or mischievousness or what, but when he, as a cashier, when he would check people out, sometimes when he handed them their receipt, instead of saying the typical obligatory thank you, he would smile at them and say something very vulgar to them. And because of the smile and the way that he did it, they didn't even notice what he said. And I'm just telling you, We got to notice what God is saying. We got to be tuned in. We need to be listening. What is He saying to me through His Word? Whether it's here, when we hear it preached or we're reading it for ourselves, oh, it's so important how you listen. Some people listen with folded arms. If your arms are folded this morning, I'm talking about something more than the outside. I'm talking about that attitude of a critical, judgmental spirit, fault-finding. The Pharisees were that way. They were more interested in finding fault and judging than they were in allowing God to do something in their heart. And you know what? There's people like that today. There's people that are cynical, skeptical, unbelieving. And I'm telling you, their hearts are hard and unreceptive. We talked about that hard heart. It's a heart that just won't allow the seed of the Word to get in. You can't convince them with arguments. Their hearts are callous. The only way for them to change is to repent and ask God to give them a new heart. The noble and good heart hears. It's ready to receive. It understands. It seeks to understand. It believes. It takes correction. It embraces the Word. See, we need to be eager when we hear the Word of God. Y'all are quiet. We should be eager. We should be excited that God would speak to us. We need to be eager to hear His Word. We just need to make sure that it's His Word when we hear it. Now, I love this passage, what it says about the Bereans. It's Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. Now, we're talking about a noble and good heart. Well, these people had noble character, for they received the message with great eagerness. That's the way we should be. We hear the Word, we tune in, we're ready, we're eager for the message, eager for the message of God's Word. But notice what else it says. It says, and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And I challenge you to do that. Whether you're listening to me preach or somebody else sharing the Word, listen. Search the Scriptures. Every day, go to the Scriptures and see if it's right. Now, let me tell you what not to do. Don't go back to the same two verses that you've always based all your doctrine on. Don't go back to some denominational teaching or some other group. You know, some people say, oh, we're not this, we're not that, we just love Jesus, and they have their own group as much as any denomination. But I'm just telling you, you can't go just by what somebody says. You got to go to the Scripture. I want to make this very clear. You don't need to go to a book or a commentary or to Brother So-and-so. You need to go to the Scripture. Listen, there's this religious thing today. This has been going on for thousands of years. It's nothing new. But it's very strong in a religious culture of America. There are people who will tell you, now listen, you can't understand the Bible unless I explain it to you. You can't understand the Bible unless you know how to properly exegete this, and we're going to parse this over here. And, you know, they start throwing all these theological terms at you and intimidate you until you think that they have to explain the Bible to you. I wonder if Jesus went to that school. He did not. God's Word can speak to anybody. The Holy Spirit can show you and guide you into truth. He is our helper and our teacher. And anybody that starts acting like they're the source of truth and you can't find it in here on your own, that's a lying spirit. That's deception. And I'm not saying that we don't learn from others. We certainly do. There are those who are called and gifted to teach, and certainly we learn from others. I can learn something from a little child. But I'm just telling you that you don't let somebody deceive you by telling you that you can't understand the Bible unless I explain it to you. Search the Scriptures. These people were listening to the Apostle Paul. That's pretty good, wouldn't you think? And what did they do? They didn't just go, oh, well, he said it, that makes it so. No, they went and they searched the Scriptures. But they eagerly received. They didn't have these walls up and, you know, that's not what I've always thought. No, they eagerly received, and then they searched the Scriptures to bear it out and see if it was so. And the Scripture is always the best way to interpret other Scripture. You interpret all Scripture in the light of the rest of the Bible. That's why you got to search the Scriptures. There's so many people today, they go to church with a nonchalant attitude, and they don't even care enough to verify if what they heard was true. They just decide whether or not they'll receive it based on their preconceived ideas. Back to Luke 8, verse 15. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. You got to listen. Be careful how you listen. Next, the good heart retains the word. The good heart doesn't quit when trouble comes. You know, we talked about that second type of heart, the shallow heart. They have no real commitment or devotion, no roots. One person put it this way: Christianity is a demanding and serious religion. When it is delivered as easy and amusing, it's another kind of religion altogether. I absolutely agree with that statement. Jesus said, broad is the way and easy is the way to destruction, and many find it. Narrow is the way and hard is the way to life, and few find it. When people try to water Christianity down to this lazy, no commitment, you know, just say you love Jesus, that's good enough, no real living it out, I'm just telling you, that's not Christianity. You know, in the early church, when the church flourished the most is when there was persecution and people were martyred. You know why? Because that meant that if you were going to be a Christian, you could die for it. We didn't have any of this lukewarm Christianity where people, you know, oh, well, sure, I'll accept Jesus. What if it means you might die? Then you're going to have to get serious about it. But I'm just telling you, real Christianity is more than lip service. It's got to be a real commitment. It can't be this shallow thing where we just hear it and say, oh yeah, that sounds good, but then as soon as something happens that we don't like, things don't go our way, we move on. No, if we have a good heart, I'm telling you, we'll hold on to the Word of God. We'll retain it. Hold on to it as though it were something precious. It is precious. It's more precious than silver or gold. I wish that people would go after God's Word like they do things and money. I want to tell you something. We talked about the deceitfulness of riches. Everybody thinks that more money would really make their life so much better. This will make your life so much better. This will bring the blessing of God on your children. This will bring God's blessing on your marriage. This will bring God's blessing on your finances. I'm telling you, we should love this book. We should seek. We should be hungry. We should desire more of it every day. We should value it more than silver or gold. Here's just one verse. There's many, but here's just one that says that. Psalm 119, verse 72, the psalmist says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. I'm telling you, the good heart won't let go of the Word of God. In the NASB, it says, hold it fast. You get a hold of it and you just won't let go. See, when God gives you a word, it should never be that a few months down the road we've forgotten about it. No, you hold on to it. You just won't let go of what God gives you. You know, when you talk about retaining, I always think of a retaining wall. It holds something in. I remember when I was a little kid, at one time my grandparents lived in a house that backed up to a creek, and my granddaddy had to build a retaining wall to keep the backyard from washing away with the creek. Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of lives that get washed away. All kinds of things in their life get washed away because they didn't retain the Word of God. They started off, it looked like they were heading the right direction, but they didn't retain. They didn't hold on to it. And it cost them. It's worth hanging on to. It's precious. It's priceless. It's life to us. So I want to give you just some real simple things real quick. How do you retain the Word? Well, first, I want to say one more time. Consider how you listen. Really listen. Seek to understand. If you don't understand, you won't retain it. So seek to understand. Number two, stay in the Word. Jesus said, if you stay in the Word, if you continue in my Word, then you really are my disciples. See, there's no instant here. You got to stay in it. You got to keep on in the Word of God. Stay hungry for God's Word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, you stay in the Word. He said, then you really are my disciples. You know, you need to meditate it day and night, that you keep going over it until you get it down in your heart. Number three, talk about it. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're really getting the Word down in your heart, it ought to be coming out of your mouth also. And number four, you got to put it into practice in your life. If you're going to hang on to the Word of God, it has to be something that you are living out. Listen to this from James 1, 22 through 25. Don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. You see, if we're going to retain it, we can't forget it. We got to do what it says. And that takes us on into the next point. If we have a good heart, we will persevere. You got to live it out in your life. You can't just try it for a while. I know that that gets said a lot. Just try it. Just try it. I disagree. How long are you going to try it? Because most things take more than a few days or weeks or even months. You see, most lives don't get messed up and destroyed in a day. I mean, sometimes you just see the train wreck at the end, but sometimes those that were watching saw the train wreck coming for a long time. And I'm just telling you that most lives don't get in a mess overnight, and neither do you fix them overnight. God can do instant miracles, but most of the time we have to wait for that seed, the Word, to bring a harvest in our life. And that takes perseverance. It's by persevering that they bring a harvest. Now, the third type of heart that we talked about was the mixed heart. They hear the Word, but they hear so many other voices too. Their hearts are mixed with the riches, the worries and pleasures of this life. Sometimes they become apathetic to the things of God because their hearts are so full of other things. They receive the Word, but the problem is they're unwilling to sever those ties with the world. I'm going to share two verses of Scripture with you right now that almost never get preached or taught, and they're so relevant to the day that we live in. James 4:4. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." Now, I want to clarify to you, God so loved the world. That's talking about people. God loves people, and we should love people. When he says anybody who's a friend of the world here, he's talking about the world system, the world's ways, the things of this world. And he says anybody that loves this world, not people, but the system, the stuff, the world's ways, hates God. He's an enemy of God. Do we hear that, church? And you need to understand that this is a problem when it comes to persevering, because so many people, their hearts are divided. They hear the word, sounds good, let's try it. But their hearts are so mixed up with worldly things, they can't stick with it. Here's the other verse. It's 1 John 2:15. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I'm telling you, there's a reason this is in here, and it's because he does not want a divided heart. He wants a heart that is holy and completely his. And when we do that, then we've got a heart that can persevere and stick with it. Jesus prayed this for his disciples in John 17:16-17. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." I'm telling you, the word of God will clean up your heart. But when our word to world ratio is out of whack, we're headed for trouble. I'm telling you, we need to love God's word. And we need to get our hearts where they're not divided, but they're truly and completely His. Then we can persevere. You know, perseverance is not a very popular trait today. It's not one that's really admired a whole lot today. The theme of the day is find an easier way. And if it's really hard, well, just quit. Do something else. But the Word of God works. It is alive and powerful, but you have to persevere. Now, I've experienced this so many times in ministry where there is this season, especially when you start in a new ministry or in a new position, there is this season where you plant and you water and you plant and you water, and it just seems like there's never a harvest. What do you do? I want to tell you what most ministers do. They quit. This is why it's so hard for young ministers to get in the ministry and make it in the ministry, and why so many ministers have such a short tenure is because there's this season of sowing and watering and sowing and watering. But they have to persevere, and I've experienced it many times in my life. One time, it was 1992. Carmen and I were 32, and God just miraculously opened a door of ministry for us, not far from here, actually. I don't know if you know this or not, but at one time, we pastored Bethel Temple in Cleburne, not even for a full year. It was a miracle. It was a God opportunity with tremendous potential, but we had such a hard time and just got discouraged, really missed the fruitfulness that we had experienced in our youth ministry. And you know, we persevered for a whole 8 or 9 months. Looking back now, I know how foolish that was to give up. My last youth ministry, the first 2 years that we were there, we saw very little numerical growth. We saw lives change, and we saw some of our young people, you know, really turning their lives over to Jesus and becoming true followers of Jesus, but we didn't see much numerical growth for 2 years. Then in the third year, something happened. It just began to grow and grow and grow, where we had a 16-week period, almost 4 full months, where every single youth service, we set a new record. I mean, it just stair-stepped up every week for 16 weeks. And we were just like, wow, what is going on? Because we had persevered, the harvest was coming in. I know Jonathan experienced a similar thing when he became our youth pastor 9 years ago. The first 2 or 3 years were tough. He's doing good ministry, quality ministry, and you know, some young people are being blessed, but just numerically, it just seemed like it was taking a long time to really start seeing a harvest. But after that third year, it just got better and better and better. Now he's in his 9th year, and it's his best year ever. And here's what I'm saying to you. You see, it doesn't matter if you're talking about vocational ministry or some area of ministry that you're involved in, or if you're talking about some other area of life. You got to persevere. You can't just try it for a little while. That's a lie. You got to do it and just keep going and keep persevering, because the Word of God is true and it will work. It'll bring a great harvest in your life. And I'm telling you, I have watched, sometimes couples will say, you know, we're going to get our marriage turned around. We're going to do things according to God's Word. And they try it for a while, and 6 or 8 months down the road, things seem like they're going downhill instead of getting better, and so they just give up. You got to persevere. You're trying to raise your children to really serve God. Listen, that's not something you halfway do. That's not something you just try. You just do it, and you persevere, and when it looks like it's not working, that's not the time to give up. That's the time to believe God and stand on the Word and keep going and keep going. So I know that the Scripture where God talks about tithing, He says, try me in this. I don't think that God means try me for a week. There's no end to this try me. You just do it. And by the way, I want to clear this up. A lot of times when people talk about tithing, they only talk about the money issue. Listen, the benefits of tithing far exceed money. Now, I know there's some Christians out there today who think, well, I don't tithe, and you know, I got money. And listen, there's plenty of pagan, heathen millionaires who don't tithe. Just because you got money doesn't mean God's blessing you. Now, if God is blessing you, you better give Him the glory. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe the Lord blesses us. But I'm just telling you that the blessings from tithing far exceed the material things. And that's something that you got to persevere in. You say, well, I started doing that and things didn't get better. In fact, I lost my job. Persevere, just keep going, and God will bring the harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, but at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. But the sad truth is so many people give up. They uproot their seed. They're doing good. They're believing God, standing on the Word, obeying God, but then they give up before they see the victory. Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He promised. Persevere. Do the will of God. You'll receive what He promised. So many people give up too soon. Let me explain. Anytime you give up, it was too soon. You got to keep going. If we have a good and noble heart, our lives will bear fruit. The fruit of a changed life, the fruit of God's Word being lived out in our life, the fruit of a blessed life that comes from serving God, the fruit of many, many other lives being changed and impacted through our life. I'm telling you, the harvest will come. The hard heart doesn't hear, the shallow heart doesn't retain, the mixed heart doesn't persevere. We We got to be receptive. We got to have deep roots. We got to keep the junk out of our heart. We got to hear the word, retain it, and persevere. And when we do that, I'm telling you, we're going to experience life to the full. We're going to see His blessings on our life. We're going to look back and we're going to say, you know what? I'm glad I didn't quit. I'm glad I kept serving God. I'm glad I kept obeying. I'm glad I kept on. Amen. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank You that You love us so much. Lord, that You never give up on us. And I pray, Father, that this morning that You would just show us Your grace. I ask You, Father, that You would create in us a clean heart, a heart to know You. Oh, Father, I pray that You would put in us a heart that is bent towards serving You, living for You. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that You would complete this work that You have begun in us. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As always, if you came to the service with any kind of prayer need, our prayer partners are here to pray with you, minister to you. But I especially want to encourage you to come this morning if God is dealing with your heart, if He's dealing with you about your life. Maybe you're one of those that just say, you know what, I've been resistant to God's word and resistant to Him dealing with me. Listen, you don't have to leave that way. God can help you change it. Maybe you're one of those that you just haven't been able to really hang on to it and stick with it or persevere. Listen, God can help you. But whatever it is, if God's dealing with you this morning, you let Him have His way in your heart. And before you walk out of these doors this morning, my prayer is that you be able to say, Lord, by Your grace and with Your help, I got a good, noble heart. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you as you go. If you need prayer, you come.